Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. I do not want this season of The Real Housewives of Orange County to end.
Me neither. They certainly delivered and redefined what a train really means to me.
We had so many iconic moments, too, like Kelly Dodd hitting Shannon Bedore on the head in Miraval, Vicky Gunvalson falling down in Key West, newbie Bronwyn Wyndham Burke's weaning party, and of course, Queen Victoria's "It's not about you, Bronwyn" royal birthday.
Yes, I think I even made gifts for each one of those moments. Plus, Bronwyn and Tamra Judge hooking up at Shannon's party, the bully speech at OC Fashion Week, and of course, Dr. Deb.
An icon in her own right. Aside from all the fun times, we also watched our SoCal wives go through hardships, like Gina Kirshenhider's marriage, Kelly's relationship with her mom, Tamra Judge realizing Ryan was struggling with depression, and Emily Simpson trying to connect with her husband, Shane.
So to prepare you guys for the upcoming reunion, we've compiled all of these moments, plus a few more using BravoTV.com's exclusive Real Housewives of Orange County After Show.
That's Tamra, Kelly, Gina, Emily, Shannon, and Bronwyn breaking down moments from this past season.
Let's take a listen.
I mean, that first night in Miraval was crazy. We had no power.
It was flipping freezing.
Everything was dark.
It was like Blair's Witchcraft, right?
Wait, Blair Witch Project?
Yeah, that one.
And then it just got even darker when Kelly hit Shannon.
Yeah. What people might not be able to know is those bowls were really heavy.
They were like 50 pounds.
Yeah, they were heavy.
They're metal.
And so they put like a little pad on my head because I'm thinking, what are they going to do? And it's like almost over my eyes. And then he takes the mallet. I'm thinking, how is he, like, this is going to hurt? Because the mallets were quite heavy as well.
Yes.
And so he just slightly tapped on both sides. And I was just closing my eyes, trying to keep my balance. Then all of a sudden, I felt this knock on my head. I'm trying to keep
like
my balance.
My
knees, yeah. I kind of, to steady myself. And so when it was over, he said, how was that? And like my head hurt.
You actually looked at me. You were like, "What just happened?" I'm like.
And then they said, "Kelly did that." It's like,
I thought it was disrespectful to where we were and the environment and this ceremony. I mean, these people literally live in Arizona, and their job is about peace and love, and go in this hut and fill this bowl and hit this gong, and they believe this. You know what I mean? And like to me, it's like you go in and you disrespect it.
Well, it was an asshole. It was an asshole move.
The teacher that was conducting whatever he was doing to me, he wasn't happy about it. He pulled me aside and he goes, you might need to come in and see me tomorrow because that was a hit. You might need adjusting or whatever. And when I got back to the room, my ex-husband got a light tap on his head and he leaked spinal fluid. I'm like, really?
I didn't want to like just go, oh my God, just suck it up, because I had an experience with my ex-husband. So I said, maybe you should go to the doctor just to be checked out.
There was nothing that was going to end this until she went to seek medical
attention.
Exactly,
and that's what I was going to say. Until she has an answer, she won't stop thinking about it.
I didn't think she was hurt at all, but I think her reaction was authentic.
My left eye is blurry and now I'm a little scared.
When I had blurry vision in one eye, that is when I got scared. So I had to go get checked at the ER. In my heart of hearts, I knew that I was okay, but I did want that thumbs up, you're good. And then we get back from the ER, and Kelly calls Tamra and I screaming.
Why are you at the hospital with her? Because you know she's f-ing full of shit. I knew right then and there that that little dong was gonna turn into a concussion. You give like a little inch to them, and they roll a mile out, right? I knew they were after me. I knew that
She called it.
I called it. I 100% called it.
Did I not call it?
Oh, she called it. Where is the, oh my God. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm just really sorry,
just
Shannon.
Just say sorry.
Tamra just left to take Shannon to the urgent care. But you whacked her in the head.
Well, you whacked her on the head.
Like, yeah, I did whack her on the head, not hard.
The bottom line is, you don't hit someone on the top of the head with a mallet. You just don't.
I tried to get her chakra in place. I was just trying to get her chakra in line.
I mean, the guy
I was doing too light. She had a little bit more of a... Yeah.
After everything that happened between Kelly and Vicky, they suddenly make up at dinner. What happened there?
It was really weird.
Okay, wait.
Super uncomfortable.
How did it happen?
Bronwyn and I went to like a, it was kind of more a therapeutic, like, you know, crashing of cars in Vegas. So, you know, I put a pig emoji of Vicky because I thought it was her. And I smushed it down into the ground. So it was actually very therapeutic. It was very releasing. It's pretty brilliant.
I don't think Vicky's an ugly woman. I just think she's ugly on the inside. I mean, you see ugly people on the outside all day long and they're like have a nice personality. And then you look at them and you're like, wow, they're pretty. Yeah. There's just something there. Like she just doesn't have a good heart. You know what? It's just easier to be nice and let things go sometimes than to harbor onto like horrible feelings. So I felt like maybe I just need to stop being so angry at her and just let things go and maybe things will be easier for me.
Okay, let me ask, I'm gonna ask you a question. So you were there at that dinner. How genuine did you think all that was? Did you really think that we were walking away and everything was gonna be kind of okay? I didn't.
Can I be completely honest right now? So when I left the table with Kelly, the second she was done with that was not having it.
You know what, this is, but and then was, my issue is, then what are you doing?
That whole thing was...
Phony.
Yeah.
Oh, not yeah. On Vicky's side though. It wasn't phony on her side.
If I wasn't drinking at all, I would have walked up and like left. Because I really don't want to have anything to do with her.
But I feel like at that point, I was hoping that Kelly just got to a place of indifference where it wasn't like combative or calling names or making fun of each other or saying crap about each other. It was more like, okay, we're both done. Let's just wipe the, you know, slate clean and let's just move forward amicably. So I thought it was like a mature moment.
Well, she's like, I want the white flag.
Yeah, and I mean,
I surrender.
You guys love
surrender.
Each other.
I surrender. No, bitch. You don't. You say you surrender, and then you go back and talk about me and say I'm not right. Allowed my daughter's school.
Right, but in that moment.
But I know how she is.
I'm not in agreement with some of the things that Vicky has said to Kelly. I'm not.
Right.
But Kelly has dished it right back.
You are.
Psycho.
No, you calm your down.
Pig, bitch, you liar. I'm gonna take the side of don't be cruel. Don't go so low. Because when you do the blows that are so low, you cause such long-term damage that it's hard to recover from it. No one's gonna come out ahead. That being said, I never thought that I would see remorse from Vicky. And when she and I repaired our relationship, I truly saw her cry and have remorse when I was talking about that David and I were splitting up. He was genuinely upset about it. So I that's what I saw that night too.
Another rumor kind of finds its way to you about something about you not being able to go to your daughter's school.
Oh yeah, that was Vicky.
She can't go to her daughter's school. She's got a bad reputation. I hope she gets her act.
What do you mean she can't go to her daughter's school?
She couldn't go out of her daughter's school for a while.
Do you know this or you heard this?
We're the schematics, so let's just say that.
No, it's not schematics.
Well, and listen. I didn't ruin Kelly's reputation.
They just can't help themselves but talk about me because I'm so interesting.
Kelly's very interesting.
I'm just so interesting they can't not talk about me.
I mean, I had heard that as well, that something went down at the school and there was an argument and she wasn't allowed on campus.
Oh, so you had heard this rumor.
I had heard it before, but it was like one of those things like, oh God, who, like really? You're talking about somebody's kid, like mm-hmm. You don't even want to go there.
They're saying that I'm not allowed at my daughter's school, which is so funny because I drop her off at her school every single morning and I pick her up every single day. And I'm a lunch lady.
Kelly's the hot lunch lady.
I'm a hot lunch lady at the, well, I do hot lunch and cold lunch. Hilarious.
So Vicky brought that up, and then I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Like, you can't make things better. You're just making things worse by keep talking about all these rumors. Like,
I thought it was just like a ridiculous, stupid, over-the-top rumor.
There are rumors about everybody on the show. Mm-hmm. And if you brought them up all the time, we'd be in fights over stupid rumors all the time.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the train?
You said that I cannot be trusted and that my husband was gay.
Yeah, we're talking about cocaine.
I know more than I've said.
Emily and I are like, you gotta stop saying that you know something worse than the worst thing. And she's like, okay, yeah, but she's lucky that I don't say it.
That's
like,
the beauty of Vicky, though. Yeah. But as long as you're not on the receiving side.
Right.
Vicky's, sometimes her defense mechanism is to attack back. And I don't think she always has the facts straight. And, you know, she unintentionally puts her foot in her mouth a lot. I mean, that's Vicky.
I don't even think like she's malicious about it. I think she doesn't get it.
She just doesn't ever think she's wrong, ever. So it's like once she gets something in her head that she's right, she's just like, brah, 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 brah.
You said that Shane isn't thrilled to film. How does he feel about watching your relationship back?
I feel like he gets a bad rap unnecessarily.
Are you excited to be on date night? You know, gives us the opportunity to connect.
Thank you. Here's the bread bowl.
Not eating it.
I mean, can he be a jerk? Absolutely. We've been married for 11 years, so obviously there's more to Shane than just this one-dimensional character.
So what? You can be a bitch. I've seen it. He was very sweet and nicer, and she kind of shut him off. And I felt bad for the guy, actually.
You picked the man you married because you met him and spent time. He emailed her over Google chat.
The first time he met me, off camera, he actually said to me, the first words out of his mouth, are you really this dumb? Or is it an act?
There isn't a woman out there that's married and has been married for a long time that has not said, yeah, my husband can be a jerk. I mean, I'm a jerk, he's a jerk. That's what marriage is about.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Gina, let's talk about your blind date.
Oh, great. Okay.
He calls to cancel over a broken toe. Were you really disappointed? I know you got a spray tan and everything for it.
Well, that's gonna go down forever.
Big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal to me.
You stood me up, man. For a toe?
My first thought was like a toe.
See?
Yeah. Did you break your vagina?
I broke a freaking foot in half and still sat in the jacuzzi and had shots.
Yes, exactly.
I might have hurt my foot.
You literally give birth, you have a human come through your vagina, and they send you home and they're like, now care for this human. But you break a toe and you can't get in an Uber? Like, it's insane to me. So I don't really accept that.
But wasn't there more to it, though?
Well, yeah. This is where I get into this weird territory with Emily because I don't know if I can trust him, you know? And I like to give my friend the benefit of the doubt. But he's like, Emily and Shane told me it was going to be a fake date.
Like, is he just trying to get, like, TV time?
Yeah, like, I don't even understand
why
that.
But don't you think if that was the case, which we don't do that on this show?
Yeah. And I had a heavy hit. Yeah,
it was
Yeah, it was.
And then you're going on your first date you've gone on.
Yeah, I'm going to go on my first date. I'm excited.
Try to feel better about yourself.
Yeah. I just want to have a fun night, you know, with the handsome guy who's funny and I know it's not going to be awkward, you know? But then it's like when you get your heart broken again like that, like it's just like you said it. The way you described it was actually really spot on. Yes. I was like, that's exactly what it is.
Betrayal.
Yes. When that is worse than what had come before it, that's when you're having like a bad time.
When that was worse than them going to jail.
That was worse. It was worse. Like I would have done better on eHarmony at this point. They check more boxes than that.
Farmers.com.
Anything.
Well, in the future.
J-Date, anything. I'm not even Jewish. I'll go on J-Date. Right? I'll do better than that.
Well, you can't because you're not Jewish.
Well, whatever. I feel like that would be more success story for
probably.
Me.
Probably.
So how did you find out Gina hooked up with her ex?
I learned at Vicky's birthday because she told me.
Mm. And what were your thoughts on that? What do you think? What did you at the time?
At the time, my thoughts were yay. Like I thought they were young. Okay, but we keep in mind we didn't know a lot.
And after going through what I went through, if you're gonna try and fight for your family, I'm gonna support you on that.
We fought for our family because Sean and I almost got divorced.
Right.
So when she was going through this, I'm like, hey, we've been through infidelity. We have gone down this road, and Sean and I came back stronger. So I support you.
Did you have the same experience where your husband cheated on you and came back?
No, I cheated on Sean.
Okay.
We separated. I took the kids.
You did?
Yeah. He was with someone else too.
Oh, okay. So you like thought the marriage was over.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. We were separated. We were in two different homes.
Okay.
And so I went to Hawaii. I took the kids. I enrolled them in school. I told Sean I was done. I just didn't want to be a single mom anymore. He traveled 25 days of the month.
Were you dating a man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very PG. Very. It was like holding hands on a surfboard kind of thing. It was someone that listened to me. Hmm.
and we surfed together, we would go for walks, and I wasn't ready for anything more, but it was just nice to have someone listen.
So how did you get back with Sean?
After a few months, he flew out to Hawaii, and he got down on one knee and re-proposed to me.
Wow.
That's sweet.
He had quit his job. He was the president of a very successful company, and he sold his shares, and he walked away. And he became a stay-at-home dad for like 8 years.
Okay.
So he
said, I would rather choose you guys than my work.
And like that, you did it. You went back to him.
No, not like that. But that's when I decided to give it another chance. But yes. No, it was not like that. Right. It was
when there's other
years
partners involved,
of work. It was years.
Yeah, when there's other partners involved, there's like jealousies. That's a really hard thing to get over.
And we did, but we put in the work. And then we came out better for it. We acknowledged where we were, how we got there, and what we wanted. I mean, for us, just us, no one else, it was the best thing that ever happened. So when Gina was telling me this story, I'm like, hey, there is a light at the end of the tunnel if you're young and you acknowledge it and you move on.
So, Gina, it seems Matt was trying to get you back this season, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like for you at that point with Matt starting to exhibit interest once again?
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. It's a double-edged sword, because on one hand, now maybe we can have my family back, like repair this whole thing, but it's also like, okay, I literally, for the first time, like made a very big movement to move on. And it was like, okay, do I want to go backwards?
I warned you.
I know.
I feel like Matt does what Matt wants to do. He lives in an apartment, he has an affair, and then I think he's able to kind of finagle his way back and say, oh, okay, we'll make it work, we'll make it work.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't surprise me that when he sees Gina moving on, dating other people, getting her own house, and he's like, whoa, you know, I need to like pull her back in. And it's not easy to just walk away from a marriage and to, you know, just be done with it. I feel like you should always put your marriage first and you should put your children first. And I have 3 small children, and I know at the end of the day, I make decisions based on what would make them happy and what's good for them, not just me.
I think at this point I had realized a lot about, and I've gone through therapy, and I've realized you have your kids and your family.
Single mom. And
yes,
all those
it's just,
things,
yeah, there's, that's very complicated.
It's easier it's hard to be with your partner than apart when you're
in
raising
a lot
kids.
Of ways, yeah. Yeah. I knew that last year, when everything was happening within my own personal stuff, I was still, you know, maintaining the basic level stuff to take care of my kids, but I was somewhat checked out and I was very overwhelmed. Sienna being the middle kid and being that she's so good, like she's that kid that like if she comes home from school or whatever, she's gonna go in her room, she wants to be on her iPad or play with her Barbies or whatever, she'll go do that. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease and the boys were always squeaking. So she kind of got a little bit overlooked, and then I showed up at a parent-teacher conference, and the teacher was basically like, she was behind the other kids, and she's like, I know there's a lot going on at home. And that really hurt. And I felt like I was not doing what I needed to do to get
like
her.
Like a bad mom.
Yeah, I felt like a bad mom. Guilty. I felt like a bad mom. Yeah. It wasn't like she was being neglected in a way where she was falling behind naturally, but I failed to recognize that she needed extra assistance. Like with Nicholas, the first parent-teacher conference I went to, I was scared, and Nicholas is like, thank God.
He's tough.
He's so tough, and he's so smart. He was doing so well, and I was so thankful that he was able to do that, and I guess I just assumed that my other kids would just kind of fall in line with that, and then when Sienna didn't, I was like, wow, like, that's a huge blow to me. I'm not doing what I have to do. It was really scary, you know, because that's everything that I have and everything that I ever wanted, and now I'm not even doing that well. Like, it really was, it was very hard for me to accept that. But it, you know, it's something that it was a reality check that I needed. I got a lot of reality checks this year that I think I needed. It's like checks and balances, you know, and then I'm better for it, I think. And Sienna's better for it, my family's better for it, and it's good.
At Shannon's birthday party, you and Gina go at it a little bit about the double date situation.
Yeah.
What was more than
that? She was starting it with you.
It was
for
more
no reason.
It was more than a little bit.
Hey, I'm pissed at you. All right.
When I figure out that she's pissed at me, the only way I know how to handle it is to handle it directly. If I knew Kelly was upset at me, I would just pick up the damn phone and call Kelly. So that's what I tried to do with her.
Leading up to this, she wasn't returning your calls, is
no.
that right? So if she had an issue...
She never spoke to me directly about it. I called her repeatedly. I texted her. Nothing. I got nothing. All I know is by the time I go to this birthday party and I get on the train, Gina, I mean, she won't even look at me, won't talk to me. There's so much tension between the two of us. You can cut it with a knife. And I'm not having a good time because I know things are going to blow. Because when I'm pissed, it's like off the charts.
Get away from me. I'll kill you.
I got absolutely nothing from her. But who did she talk to?
Tamara.
Yeah. I know. It all boils down to one thing. She wants to be mad at me. Because if she's mad at me, then they accept her into their group even more. Oh, you don't like Emily? Come tell us. Yeah. Come, my child, tell us how much you hate Emily. I mean, that's all it is. I'm not f-ing stupid. Right?
Right.
I mean,
and they spun her
out of control.
Hence why she is very much Stockholm syndrome.
In my mind, it was between me and Gina, and that's how I work things out directly. So I never went to Kelly. I never went to Bronwyn. I never said anything to anyone else. But when I'm sitting at the table, I can hear everybody at the end of the table talking about it.
All right, is everybody going to talk about me at the end of the table?
No, I'm kidding.
No.
Obviously, she's had conversations with other people, and it was not with me. So that whole, like, I tell it like it is, I'm direct, bullshit. It was very difficult for me knowing that I couldn't even have a conversation with her without her bringing Tamara into it, bringing Shannon into it. I felt like she just kept repeatedly going to other people and talking about me behind my back.
I was humiliated.
So like a pity day.
Did she set me up to like just hurt me or like I have no idea what's going on?
First of all, why the hell would I do that? I would never do that on purpose.
And why are you trying to figure out a reason for me to get mad
at
me?
But to me, it was a very benign reason to be mad at me. I mean, it's just, it was so asinine.
How many people are in the
and
world?
They never went on a date.
Like, they never went on a date.
There was no date. They never went on a date.
But there's a billion people in the world. Like, are you worried about one dude?
I mean, I had eight on a train. She could borrow one from Kelly.
Tell me about Ryan. How did he slip into being such a staunch Trump supporter? Where do you think that came from?
Ryan was always a Trump supporter since he was elected. However, like last year, he wouldn't even talk about it because he was afraid of the backlash he would get from viewers. And so this year, I was really surprised that he just was full force, talked about it. This year, he was really in a low place in his life. It's like he looks at Trump as if Trump is God. And he was really looking at him to find like strength in his life. And it just comes across just a little much.
But I think also there with Ryan, like there's probably underlying issues that have nothing to do with politics at all.
Yeah.
Do you mean like family issues?
Yeah.
I feel like I was the trial run. No one prepped me for life.
So I had Ryan at 18, pregnant at 17, had him at 18, and Darren, his father, we broke up like probably a year after Ryan was born.
Right.
And so I was working 6 days a week. Ryan was at my mom's house most of the time. And it
was what it was.
It was what it was.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of practice. Like I was 18, 19 years old trying to raise, you know, a one-year-old. And I wasn't fit to at all. And I didn't get remarried until Ryan was 13. So it was me and Ryan for a long time.
And then that was like
time.
A whole nother
issue. Yeah, yeah. So this kid who pretty much did whatever he wanted to because I was never around.
Yeah.
You know, get married to Simon. And then it's like, oh, there's structure. And like I always said, like Simon, he wasn't a bad person. Like he didn't hate Ryan. He was trying to be mean to him. But he was trying to give him the structure that he never had at 13. Right. This kid's like, well, what are you talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
That's not how we do things. Who are you? Go away.
This season, Ryan says that neither of you do feelings.
You know I'm here if you need to talk.
I know. Stop getting feelings with me. You're making me feel uncomfortable. I don't do feelings, remember? Either do you, so this is really awkward.
Do you do feelings now? Are you working on that? Or is it
kind of. It's hard. Like, we're not like that lovey-dovey, like, we're... Hey, what's going on?
You know what though, Dick, and I obviously not, I don't know about you with your children, but you with me, like I get everything out of our friendship that I need and it feels more like love than it does with a lot of my other friendships, even though it's not like, I love you. Yeah, but it's like,
I don't blow smoke
this is
up
what it is.
Yeah, it's really, yeah. I grew up where at the time and age, I don't know, I think it was everybody was like this or maybe it was just our family, but you just didn't really talk about your feelings, just kind of like swept them under the rug and just be like, you know, get over it. It's not that big of a deal. So there was no like, I love you or what'd you do today? It was just went through the motions. And if something, you did something wrong, like, what are you asshole? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we just grew up really tough.
Also, I learned this year is that Sandy, your mom, uh-huh. Sandy got rocked.
Yeah.
Rocked.
Well, my dad left my mom for her best friend. So.
You toughen up.
Yeah. The two of them, like, never talked about emotions, and we were raised like that. And so was Ryan.
So this season, you planned a pretty extravagant birthday party for Vicky.
Yes. So we wanted to just, like, celebrate Vicky. And we felt like, you know, this year, she's not full-time. We knew that she felt, like, a little insecure, and she felt left out. So we thought we'd do, like, this big, like, to-do. Like, have a horse and carriage and play trumpets as she walked out. Like, you knew that Vicky Gunvalson was going to eat that up. And she did.
Were you at all bummed that you missed Vicky's birthday party?
I'm so glad I didn't go because the three Tres Amigas all got dressed up and they made everybody else look like idiots.
That was rude.
That was absolutely
rude. If you're
going
to have themed a birthday party, then everyone invited should have been in on the theme. I show up in a dress and a hat and I look like a dumbass. I didn't get a memo about a costume. That's all I have to say. I feel very underdressed.
Oh my God.
Should I go home and put a ball gown on? They just wanted it to be the three of them. But, you know, they let Gina in.
But not Foley.
Total normal day for me. I look like a stripper.
But like a hot tea party stripper.
Hot tea party stripper, yeah.
You can wear a costume, but not like ours.
No, like you're gonna be the dumb one.
Wow.
It's like hazing.
Dude, that's not even old school. Not like ours.
I believe you said something like, the next time I celebrate Vicky, it'll be at her funeral.
It was meant to be a joke.
What are you doing?
Going to the tea party. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this.
I mean, the only celebration I'm doing for her is going to her funeral.
Listen, I made a pact to be cordial with the woman. I don't want to be best friends with the fucking bitch. Okay, let's just be honest. You've done a lot of damage to me. Why would I want to celebrate your birthday?
Hitting the head with a heavy bowl with a mallet? Not funny. Saying, I'd go to the party if it was your funeral. Not funny. Like,
it seemed like there was a period when you were not going to tell Vicky, but then it came out.
Well, that's what you call alcohol and me. And I knew that she had said it to me on camera. And I'm kind of that person, like, if you say something to me on camera, unless you tell me don't say it, what's the harm?
Did Vicky react the way you expected?
No, I felt like she played the whole victim, like, oh my God, and I'm like, it was a joke, that's Kelly. They told me she said that about me, I'd be like, no, whatever. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, she wishes me dead.
She wants me dead? I've never heard anybody in my life talk the way she does.
No, it's bad.
I feel like there was a whole lot of acting going on back there. I'm like, oh, come on, guys, it's Kelly being Kelly.
Like, listen, like, if the lady died, I mean, I probably wouldn't even go to her celebration of life, let's just be honest. But I was just, I mean, that was giving her a lot.
But back then.
It was meant to be a joke. I'm not going to be best friends with this woman. I'm not going to, pretend that she's going to be friends with
me.
But these other women pretend. I don't pretend.
So you go from Vicky being the source of rumors to maybe it being Tamara.
Right. When we were at Sea Legs is when I found out that Tamara was the one that was the source of the rumors.
Tamara's the one who said the train thing.
Tamara did.
Yes. Are you talking about the train?
What was the source of the Kelly rumors, like the cocaine and the train rumor?
What had happened is Shannon and Vicky had gone out in Newport and they met one of Kelly's, I don't know if it's a current friend, but it was a friend that she had known for a long time. And he told them the story about how, you know, she does cocaine and that one time she pulled a train in a public place and a lot of other things.
The guy that brought up the train rumor, he's a bit of a shyster. And I talked to him on the phone. I go, why would you say something? He's like, they were asking me if I knew any dirt on you.
Did this person say that they had seen it with their own eyes or they're just repeating a rumor?
Repeating a rumor. But I made it very clear when we left the restaurant, like, that's an outrageous story. You're not bringing that up again.
When we were at dinner that night, that was probably about the third or fourth time that Vicky kept saying, I know something way worse, I know something way worse. I kind of called her bluff. I'm like, oh, the train?
I have not revealed all what I know.
Are you talking about the train?
In my defense, I never
did it in a malicious way in my head. I don't know, maybe it was just the Teela or whatever. If you're going to keep saying, I don't know something, but I'm not going to tell, I'm going to go ahead and say it if you don't say it. And because she did this with Shannon and David, and we had to listen to it for 2 years. I'm like, I don't want another 2 years of this. I know something. Just get it out. She's basically saying, just piss me off one more time, and I'm going to expose it.
I don't think she ever would, though. I think Vicky knows that she push, because she's so annoying about it that I feel like she just knows it's a matter of time until she's just so friggin' annoying enough that somebody else will say it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. And then what happened afterwards was what really brought it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The car.
Just a rumor that she heard. She said 8 guys pulled a train on Kelly.
Okay, I have to take full responsibility for that because when we were in the car, they were like, we are never gonna talk about this. I'd only been filming for about 2 weeks at this time. I didn't understand when them saying we're never going to tell Kelly, that that was their way of protecting Kelly. When I tried to give her the heads up, I didn't realize that was the worst thing I could have done.
The thing is, Vicky hates Kelly. So Vicky is giving this information to them, hoping that they're gonna go and tell Kelly. So by them not telling Kelly, that was actually them being a good friend to Kelly. Because then Kelly gets that bomb and she'll self-destruct. She blows it up herself, which is exactly what Bronwyn did.
Yeah, Bronwyn did it.
And it's like the type of thing that like you're very clear that this is going to be damaging if Kelly knows. Mm-hmm. Like that's what was clear about that car ride. That's what pisses me off about Bronwyn. This will be bad for Kelly if Kelly knows this. And then she runs, and not only does she run and tell her, but she doesn't tell us that she told her. That's shitty. That's really shitty.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about the train? I want to know Kelly's viewpoint. Because Bronwyn and Gina go to you and tell you that everybody was talking about the train.
Right.
But neither of them tells you that Tamara's the one that brought it up at dinner. No. Why did they do that? Do you think they consciously protected her? Do you think they didn't say?
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't want to blame it on Bronwyn or blame it on anybody else because I'm the one that said it, but.
Well, it's Vicky. Ultimately, he wouldn't shut up about
it. Didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. I don't know. I feel like Kelly would be justified in anything she says and does all season because of that conversation in the back of the SUV. I really do.
Where did the stairs rumor come from?
So my mother lived with me since I moved to Orange County. And so my brother got a job working out here. So she said, it's going to be for a little bit. Can he move in with you? You have a big house. I said, no, I don't want him moving in with me. But she talked me into it. And I said, yeah, certainly. So what happened was my best girlfriend, she's grown up with me, she's like my sister. Mm-hmm. She brings another guy in who's gay. Mm-hmm. And Eric calls my mom and says, they're staying in your room. She was like, why are they staying in my room? I'm like, what's the big deal? You've known her your whole life. Like, she's like my sister. Mom's not paid not one bill mm-hmm. ever. I mean, I bought our other house in Arizona. I bought it. My mother was telling sensitive information to my brother and then causing problems.
Were they both living with you at that point? Yeah. And neither one of them was paying for anything?
Not one bill. So I felt a little bit ganged up on, you know, and I think the demise of our relationship was I spoil her. I feel like I do so much for her, but they weren't reciprocating.
Right.
She wanted to be mad at me. She wanted to yell at me. She wanted to be in control. Mm-hmm. And I had it.
So that was where it came to a head. Is you had and there was a friend staying in her room.
So Kelly threw her out, but there were no stairs.
But there was no stairs.
She just threw her out the door.
I pushed her out the door. Yeah, I didn't throw my mom. There was no stairs.
It was just flat.
It was just flat. It was just out the door.
Right. Kelly and Vicky are the same
person.
Or tell me a little bit more about that.
They are. They don't. They both have that thing where.
Vicious.
They vicious when they sling shit,
but
also like no self-awareness at all. No not even like a peripheral self-awareness.
Yeah.
Like it's bad. They both will never take responsibility for their own poor actions, and their poor actions are always justified by what the other person has done to them.
Yeah.
And
so
that
it's
is
always like
retaliation. Huge
well,
character flaw.
If you say this, I'm going to say this. If you say this, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
And it's just constant.
Right. So the two of them fighting each other
when they
is,
get dirty
it'll never end it'll ne- one will die
yeah
I wish we could do like a gladiator situation
right
that would be amazing. Actually I don't know who would win that
I left for the weekend without cameras and Kelly texting me on my way to Arizona going, I wish you were going to this dinner tonight. And I'm like, oh, well, have fun, you know, whatever. Something happened. I'm not aware of it. And then Kelly does what Kelly does, goes and just blasts me.
You should see this that she says about you. Shanna's went on weight again and
lost it like one.
Oh, wait, so now she's saying I'm gaining weight?
Mm-hmm. Tamara's two-faced. She's a freaking two-faced, okay? And I'm telling you, and I'll tell her right to her face. She's two-faced.
Somehow it becomes Kelly telling Shannon
all these horrible
that
things.
Tamara says about me all the time. And she says you're fat. And she says you're, I don't even remember all the things. When you heard the compilation, I was like, what?
100%.
What? This is my best friend. Because we're like sisters. Like, what are you talking about?
Tamara's very, 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 very uber, uber smart. And I think that she, what she does is, you know, she hits the beehive and she runs. So if you see the whole past 14 seasons, she has a way of doing that. But under all these layers, like an onion, she has an agenda. And that's to make everyone kind of look bad but herself.
She said I look like shit.
She actually said you look like a pig earlier when she said that she'd rather go to Vicky's funeral.
Oh, Bronwyn was talking smack?
She trusts you!
Kelly, I have your back every time.
Bronwyn, you should have never, no.
I didn't bring it up, Kelly.
The truth is the truth is the truth.
It was just a realization when you put people together and they start cross-referencing notes that really Tamara was the one behind a lot of these frictions that were caused in these relationships. And that's why I said I feel like she's just the one that like causes all these issues between people and then sits back with clean hands and is like,
that's
wasn't me.
It wasn't me. I'm not the one I heard.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. That's how Tamara works. They got the puppet.
No, I hear you.
And there's the master, and then everyone else. Like it's
no,
that,
I get it.
And they
she's
all
the Pied
conform.
Piper.
They all conform to that.
I think Tamara has relationships with people out of fear.
She's the freaking godfather, or the godmother.
You think that?
Perhaps.
So it seems that when you met up with Tamara, more rumors came up.
No,
I heard her
but
talking
it's out
about
of context.
My mother. I heard her talking about my mother.
And if you hear it in the real context, you're going to go, oops.
I'm just getting knocked down from these women. If you want to be a part of that, I'm going to have to remove myself from you, Trace Amigas.
I tried to sit down with Kelly, and she's like, Tamara said I pushed my mom down the stairs. No, actually, she was defending you, Kelly. You're going to see it.
And that's true.
You're going to see it.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't believe me.
So what upset Kelly so much?
I was having a conversation with Shannon, and I was saying, I felt like at the party, the tea party, I felt like you guys were really going after Kelly. Everybody had like 2 cents put in. I go, and it made me feel uncomfortable. That's why I got up and walked away. And she goes, I don't really think anybody was going after Kelly.
She goes, well, Bronwyn said this, and so-and-so said this, and then Vicky said she pushed the mom down the stairs, and some fan was filming and they edited it. And then it just showed Tamara saying, she pushed your mom down the stairs. And I go, Kelly, that was edited.
And that's
Tamara
true.
Was actually was. Defending you. And she's like, I'm out.
The way it was presented on social media was that I said that she pushed her mom down the stairs. I never said that. Vicky had said it at the table.
Not talk that her she pushed her mother down the stairs.
The next thing I know, there's stories where it says, Tamara says that Kelly pushed her mom down the stairs, which that is not what happened. And Kelly went bat crazy.
And then she contacts someone that Tamara and I are in a lawsuit with saying, make me a character witness. A life-altering, financially devastating lawsuit Kelly involves herself in.
Yeah.
Saying, make me a character witness. I'm on your side. When you're on a reality show, it's like, you're a bitch. You know, okay, yeah, that's it. But when there is legal issues that are going on that involve dollars, I used to cry to Kelly on the phone and to Tamara. We both were hysterical to her multiple times talking about the devastation. And she would say, oh, I can't believe this is happening to you. But as soon as she thinks someone's attacking her, and oh, by the way, it was erroneous, she contacts the person that's suing us, saying, make me a character witness? That's evil. Like, that is a boundary that I don't know that can be ever repaired.
It seemed like, okay, so there's, you know, obviously there's the issue with the lawsuit and all of that stuff.
So here's the situation, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be quite honest with this, okay? So I had it with her, okay?
And so I felt the need, and she was coming after me. I said to Shannon, tell Tamara to shut the f- up or I will be a character witness. All I wrote. I didn't go against her. I didn't go in court. I was an idle threat to tell her to shut the f- up or else I will do this. That's it. Tamara, she doesn't know the extent of the hurt what she does to people. She's spreading rumors that she won't shut the f- up. She's trying to manipulate everybody because that's what she does. She gets these little things. She tries to find little information about them and expose people. This is a thing that she does for the last 14 years. This is who she is. So I did something so bad that she'll never talk to me again. You know what? Shut the f- up. How about I never talk to you again? How about that?
Trace Amigas, sleepover. You guys have a sleepover and Vicky lands in the ER. What the hell happened?
Okay, so one night, the three of us got super drunk. And when we get super drunk, we have a lot of fun.
Okay, where does it begin?
Key West.
If I'm going to go in a pool, I didn't have three of them on. I had one, Spanx. I'm going in the Spanx.
You know what? Progress.
I know. I've gone down from 3 to 1. And Vicky says, Steve Lodge is going to get mad because he got all mad that she was wearing a dress cut down to here when we went in out in Miami. So she's wearing some $1,500 jumpsuit. She goes, I'm just going to go in with the jumpsuit.
If it wasn't for Steve, Vicky would be naked in the pool. Maybe I was the only naked one. I don't know.
When is Tamara Judge not naked? She's going to jump in a pool naked.
So then we go in to the pool, and then one of the hotel guests is inebriated, and he says, I'm coming back with my friends.
They came to a point where security came and said, you guys need to leave now. You need to leave.
So here's the pool in the middle. There's a walkway here, a walkway here. This guy's walking this way, and security is like, you got to get out this way.
We're like, oh, shit. So we grabbed our stuff, and we started running.
Out of the pool, wet. Everybody's running.
And it's like we were running from the cops, and Vicky falls.
She falls flat on her ass. And then I go, are you okay? And she pulls me in a planter. And this is, oh, by the way, after we ordered the Moon Over Miami meals from Denny's. So across the street. So Vicky says, of course, I need an ambulance. I don't think I can walk. I think I've broken my leg. So the ambulance is called right as the Moon Over Miami sandwiches are delivered from Denny's. So we have Vicky in the gurney in the ambulance with the Moon Over Miami sandwich right there on her chest, and she's eating it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, so, okay, 2 days later, she was walking fine.
The next morning, Sean texts me, Vicky broke her ankle. I'm like, that was last year.
Yeah.
And so, like, people are like, why do you want to be a housewife? This is like, we have, no, seriously, our stories are epic.
So, Megan, you were at the reunion. Is there anything you can tease for us?
I mean, I've kind of mentioned it before, but Vicky definitely wins MVP just in terms of like an epic meltdown she has at the reunion.
Oh, my God.
And I really can't wait for you and everyone else to see it.
Obviously. I mean, I think it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. And I actually couldn't wait and watched all three parts of the reunion. And holy shit, it's fantastic.
Oh, my God. I need to get a hold of those episodes.
You're going to love it.
So be sure to catch The Real Housewives of Orange County Reunion Part 1 this Wednesday, December 18th at 10, 9 Central, right after Real Housewives of Dallas.
And we'll be back with our regularly scheduled episode this Thursday.
Talk to you guys then.
Bye-bye. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.